Let's open it up to public comment, shall we? And bear in mind, it's hot already. Try not to raise the temperature too much. Let's start with Christine again. Christine Hansen, followed by Jennifer Heggie, followed by Edward Hansen. You can sort of arrange yourselves in line so we can keep things moving.
It is not contradictory to be passionate about creating affordable housing and also dedicated to protecting City College. This TDM was completed in March, yet this has not been presented to City College Facilities Committee, which has met two or three times since then. The reason that Reardon, for example, complained about the potential parking structure shadow is because the developer moved the road, the access road, 100 yards to the south. And they moved it without any, the move creates a left turn and a highly used pedestrian crossing. And the developer told us at the previous meeting that this move had no actual design benefit other than it just sort of looked better. The campus community has not recommended this change to the approved facility master plan, which once again endangers the PAC. Without a state takeover this time, the educational portion of the PAC may be completely eliminated from future planning just because it will be so expensive. If you dig deeper in the FMP, we'll see the construction of the educational portion of the PAC has stepped aside in the construction schedule to allow, to make way for the project on the lower reservoir. The administration has told us in past that parking cars is not the highest and best use of the parking area, and now we are being told that this use is also now parking cars higher and more important than the education of future generations of City College performing arts students. Your committee has a voice. You can help to protect the school. It is not being protected by the administration or the city in their combined planning process. As voters, you have paid for the planning process that was being ignored because the FMP that is being usurped was funded with money originally intended for the construction of the full PAC that was going to be much cheaper.
Jennifer Heggie. Jennifer.
Thank you. I'd like to start with two questions. I would like to know how many parking places will the STEAM building take?
We'll answer after.
And then how many parking spaces would the smaller PAC take? So from personal experience, and I just want to mention this because it wasn't brought up, is part-time instructors lug a lot of equipment from campus to campus. And so that may be one of the reasons why people are horrified that they're taking cars, but there are many reasons, as was mentioned. I suggest that TDM measures take into account that this campus has many campuses. City College is made up of many campuses, and that instructors do have to go from place to place, and that students as well. So I also wanted to talk about the impact of City College and the PAC to music. The construction of the Balboa Reservoir should not result in negative impacts to an important San Francisco public institution, City College. But the removal of a large area for parking that is owned by the public, the PUC, will have a serious impact on the future of the performing arts at City College. Because City College doesn't have the resources to add a parking garage, they are being forced to consider an alternate facilities plan which reduces their ability to perform their core function, which is education. Because of the footprint of the planned Performing Arts Education Center. This alternate plan will allow a fraction more of the needed parking to be available for students and faculty, along with inadequate music facilities. Reducing the footprint of the PAC will have a severe and lasting impact on the music and performing arts departments and opportunities in these fields for San Franciscans who would not otherwise have them. I've seen this. Without these classes, the San Francisco community at large will lose many fine musicians with a wide diversity of musical backgrounds who don't have the resources or time of day to study elsewhere. Thank you.
I assume that means it's okay.
Yes, put the microphone there. Edward.
Good evening, thank you for being here.
One more thing, after Edward, we got Madeline Mueller. and Chris Peterson after that. And after Chris, we will have Theodore Randolph and Wynn Kaufman. Might as well get them all in.
Thank you. I'd like to address you as members of my community, because while I do teach at City College, I also live very close to campus and I'm a member of this community. I've been coming to these meetings for over years now. It's been a multiple year process of listening to the concerns of the community about parking, listening to the concerns of the community about how many people are going to be brought into our community, listening to the community about our concerns of reducing our footprint of traffic and cars on the road. There's very definite advocacy as to why are we not doing public transport. What I would like you to just think about for a moment and imagine and see if you could feel, what if whatever your passion was, you spent 2 years or more coming to meetings. Even the developers came for years to the meetings and said, I'm going to get my 1,500 units on the Ocean Balboa Reservoir, only to turn around in the end and have somebody else say, we've changed it. We listened to your input, and now we're going to do something completely different. What would you do if that happened to you? Because what you were just presented here was two versions of a facilities master plan, and we have spent years working on that first version with widespread input. The questions I encourage the Community Advisory Board to ask of this process. What community campus had input on this plan? We have a sustainability committee. Did they come up with the goals of the TDM? Or did the TDM just come because somebody told them that this is what we should have? Was this plan presented through larger people? Because if you're going to get people to change behavior and you're going to have a smaller footprint, which I don't think you're going to get, then it has to come from inside, and this process where we have just changed it without the board, without anybody else, cutting the pack in half, and then moving things around for parking structures because we've been dancing with Avalon and the developers about who's going to pay for a parking structure we can't afford it, definitely is not asking the community to be part of that process. It's just changing it from the top down. And if that is going to happen, then there are a lot of things that you're going to have a problem with at the next stage of things. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Madeline.
Well, in part, what's going to happen is that I have packets for you to read. I've got a hint of this going on. I've been in the facilities committees for 20 years. These plans have not just been in the last year. Crucially, they've been working the last 4 years, but many years before that, to get facilities master plans. And the assumption is the master plan does have with it the idea of what comes first. So I'm going to give you a packet of things, including a very good letter from the Kronos String Quartet. We have John Adams, Pulitzer Prize composer. Andy Glover's probably joining in this next week. The students really deserve an educational arts building. We have such talented students. They're very diverse, they're very young, and most of them are male. And it's a very good career. Arts education, music education in California, music industry, top jobs, good stuff. So we won't go down quietly. Now, about the transportation, yes, you have to be someplace on time. And that's really what our students tell me is the very real problem. Of not taking public transportation, BART or Muni, they just can't get to class on time. I have to, as a teacher, get there on time. So I can't depend on any of these other. I tried. I bicycled. I fell off. I walked. And it got quite dangerous. I took the bus and was late. I just had my TIA, my classified staff, fall off his bicycle yesterday, got a call from ER, broke his hand. I just had my secretary come in this morning. She was attacked on the BART. She fought off with pepper spray coming to work today. Now this is just two stories in one day, and I get these stories from students all the time. Does that show up in your data? No, because data's numbers. But you have to deal with people, and there are real problems with all of these alternate suggestions that you're making. But I will give you those.
Okay, Chris Peterson. Is it Peterson or Peterson?
It's Peterson.
Okay.
One initial question, wondering about how people can get a hold of the TDM study that's done. I'm hoping it's available on the website, but I didn't hear information about that. Then other comments more generally about the TDM components of the program. And partially before I get into that, just big picture perspective, it's crucial for all institutions, City College, the City of San Francisco, to be aggressively pursuing TDM measures because of the threat of the climate crisis. It's transportation is a huge component of California's contribution to that. Some concerns about the specific presentation. The discussion about parking demand characterizes it as if it's some immutable demand that's out there. Well, parking demand is very changeable. Changes depending on supply, changes depending on availability of alternatives, on pricing. That's why so many more people take transit to downtown San Francisco than other employment centers, because it's so damn expensive and difficult to drive, and there are alternative ways to get there. So I hope you continually acknowledge that to avoid people treating a parking demand figure as some fixed figure, because it's not. I also strongly encourage you to pursue pricing strategies. I think pricing is a very important factor in whether or not people drive to work or take alternatives, and your own studies apparently show that. And people say it's cheaper to drive than to take transit. So I hope you aggressively pursue that as you evaluate TDM measures. Thank you.
Theodore.
All right, hello. So this this baseline parking demand supply, this column over here, unmet demand, unserved demand, seems a little confusing. It doesn't, it's not the same number as peak number minus supply, so I'm not sure how you got the number here. It's a little off. So to echo what Chris was saying, the IPCC has said that we need to decrease the greenhouse gases by 45% by 2030, but this TDM thing, the most aggressive plan here, decreases demand for parking by only 20% compared to present day, or I'm calculating roughly 36% per capita. With the market share of electric cars now being so low, I expect that 90% of that parking demand is going to be for fossil fuel cars. And the distances traveled, I expect to increase as housing in the center of the city becomes less and less affordable. So I think the TDM really should be a lot more aggressive and pursue a lot more different options, especially housing for on campus for students or faculty, possibly even pursuing a zoning overlay for the city to build to legalize affordable housing, affordable to students and teachers near transit. All right, thank you.
Wynn Kaufman.
Hi, I'm Wynn Kaufman. I've been an engineering instructor at City College for over 30 years, and I'm on the facilities committee. That's part of the participatory governance process. The first question I would like to ask is what college constituencies were consulted with the Plan B, Mr. Son? It's certainly not the Facilities Committee, and I think that it was done in such a short time frame. I really doubt that many others were either, and that's a huge concern. I mean, that is just an affront to participatory governance. You know, it may not even be a bad idea, this new plan, but it needs to be vetted. It needs to go through the proper procedures and processes so that everybody can weigh in and decide whether it is a good plan or not. The facilities master plan was approved by the board and recommended by the facilities committee after years of hard work, and I will say contentious work. You know, not everybody on the committee agreed with the direction it should go, but there was the plan that was the result of participatory governance. The other thing is, I have a great idea. I know how we can mitigate parking, the need for parking. Just make it really expensive, and then students won't come. So we won't have any students. What you're doing is you're restricting access to students. Before you mess with parking, you have to make sure that there are viable transportation options.
Right.
For students. I'm a bicyclist myself, and I I'm a bicycle advocate, and I am a total mass transportation girl. But there are situations where students, it's either cheaper or they have childcare, you know, children to pick up or whatever. Make sure that they have the options to continue their access to education. That's the bottom line.
Thank you. Any more comment?
Thank you very much.
Okay, we got Ann Clark here.
My name is Ann Clark, and I'm a City College graduate. I want you to know that every day to and from, I rode the 27, and it was quite an experience. Do you all know where the 27 comes from and where it goes? It's a really long day, but I love City College. I've given you a summary that was actually presented to the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission. I've worked with them in many different ways, including the environment. So when you look at this, you might think, what is this about? What I'd like for you to focus on is the bottom part. I actually drove around the Balboa Reservoir and walked very slowly around the Balboa Reservoir, and then looked at where Plymouth Street was, where Ocean Avenue was, and where we were up here. So if you look down here, this is actually a rectangle, the reservoir. And the first step is the backyards of Plymouth Street houses. And they come right back into the reservoir. So you've got the Plymouth Street area, which is always packed with cars, and even some cars that are on the front of the lawns or in the back of lawns. The second one is Ocean Avenue. There are three blocks. I actually took this down. Three blocks of four stories high of condos, apartment shops, as well as a large bumper-to-bumper congested day-night in-and-out Muni transit. So we've got a real Ocean Avenue to look at what's going on for our students. And then the third one is the City College Multiple Use Building, which you're in now. There is a parking lot here where the Performing Arts Center was to be completed by 2006. It was actually first mentioned in 2003. This is 2019, so that's about, what do we do, I add to on, that's about 16 years. And finally, there's a narrow road in and out of the reservoir next to Reardon High School. And I haven't heard a lot from Reardon, but there probably are some concerns that Reardon has. So if you are mostly interested in this part, I wish you would take a look at it. And remember, I really did walk around the reservoir. Thank you.
Harry.
I don't know the numbers.
Go ahead, Harry.
Harry Bernstein. Just reading something here. I was reminded by AJ that one goal of the TDM analysis is to maintain just and equitable access to a CCF education. Maybe that's too Pollyannish for this group. But this does not come to the fore when the information tonight about these factors, a poorly vetted STEM building, we're hearing that this latest proposal did not meet with many groups from the City College community. Reluctance to actively pursue a BART shuttle is off somewhere in the future. The unwillingness to insist that the Balboa Reservoir project mitigate for the loss of the long existing parking that's happened for over 60 years on the lower reservoir. Those are just some factors that just don't seem to indicate that there is a priority for equitable access to education. And some reasons have been presented to you about how the PAC is being ignored. We know about the flattening the campus to move it up there, to not have it considered at all. And some of the trustees I know are saying, well, we wanted the PAC before, but now it's gotten so expensive, so we wash our hands of it. think you have a role in seeing that proper processes are followed, but just don't abandon that building. That's a lot of it has been, you know, millions have been spent on it, and there still is a desire in the community and a need from the department and the college. We have apparently many hundreds of current students, even though we don't have a music major, was a proposed music certificate, where we have literally hundreds of current students who would take that, but they will need a facility.
Thank you. How are your fingers doing over there? Do you need a break?
I just need a little break. That would be great.
Let's take a 5-minute break, and then is 5 minutes enough?
Okay.
1:10? Let's take a 10-minute break, and we'll come back for some round robin up here, and then we'll move on to public comment.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't think about it until I saw you grimacing. We still have another half hour at least.
So far, we have 3 public comments.
Okay. Yeah, we probably will. So, what is the? I can talk without. It's gonna get edited out, right?
Yes.
I don't have anything private to say about it.
No.
I'm just wondering, how did they come up with the second plan? Yes.
Yeah, I was looking at you and I was like, I'm Sheila. I'm with the planning department. So I'm going to be filling
in. That's right.
For,
okay, it all comes back
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, I'll be filling in for Cindy. She's
Oh, great. Okay. I was wondering.
End of September. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Is your first?
Second.
How's the other one?
He's a little over 2.
He's in for a shock.
Oh, my God. He
but
told me.
He remember life before.
No, he does. You know, I told him like you have a baby in my belly. He's like, yeah, he kind of knows. And then yesterday he came over and he said, "Mommy has a baby in her leg."
I was like,
all right. So totally get it.
So, don't you?
Yeah. It feels that way. So.
Yes. My girls are 2 years apart. I mean, the first couple of years, I'm not gonna lie, are kind of hard. But
yeah.
I know.
And you got 3, right, Tom?
Yeah, they were spaced out. The
yeah.
First one is 38, and then there was 17 and 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice for you.
17 and having 2 of them in diapers for a short period of time.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is you never know when you're changing your last diaper.
You never know when it's going to be the last
one. You don't
one.
Know this is going to be the last one. You don't get to celebrate.
That's sort of like when you're, you know, it happens so gradually and so you know, so much over time. But like, yeah, sure, maybe there's like one step that's the first, but then
there's a lot of,
was a certain
it's not
point
like they just
where I realized like,
walk,
well, now
point.
He's walking. When
yeah.
did that happen? Didn't
yeah.
really know that he would never crawl again.
Now she's going to college.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Wow. So the one thing we didn't have time to sort of talk about before the meeting is the date of the next CAC. She wants to be in for September 10th, but it's now that we have to adjust the draft AR comment period. It's right in the middle of that. So
do you want to take it before?
It would have to be wrapped up, I guess. It would have to be after.
Because the deadline was
September 23rd. So what we could do, John, is just have it on the but we will talk about it.
I mean, this is basically so that people will not feel like they're making comments here that are going to lead to like
it's just going to be confusing.
You don't want to have that.
There's sort of a.
Just having the same thought and thinking like we really don't have any say in regard to the say whether or not that's really not we're just this isn't supposed to be us being informed what's going on with City College so that we can all be on the same page together. That's what's important to me.
So to the extent that you can comment there are important things that are whether the City College plan is going to be flawed or something, which is still not hard. We all know what City College is.
Right, and City College is telling us what their short-term parking is going to be. And that's what's really the most important. That means to figure out like how much parking do we think we need to be as part of the shared garage.
I mean, I get worried about surface cooling. I don't like the top series.
Involved in a way that I don't understand and I don't think about it.
It's okay. You know, this is a good
All right. Have you been looking? Some people don't like me to tell.
I guess the time is right. Everybody's having a nice time.
It's close. We hope not. Too close. John? John?
Yes.
I got a Warriors game I want to go.
Okay.
You know those guys?
Yeah.
That was going on at our last board meeting too.
Yeah. No.
All right.
Sorry to interrupt, but let's get back to the meeting.
Because there's a Warriors game on.
Some people would like to see the Warriors game.
So I don't normally ask people this, but...
Okay.
Yes. It's become somewhat obvious.
Very wrong.
I know. It's my second.
All right, does anybody from the committee like to speak to what we just heard?
Okay, we've heard a lot today about City College and the process going forward, and I thank the speakers. It was very informative. But I'm concerned. I see a sign here that I keep knocking off the table. It says Balboa Reservoir Community Advisory Committee. Mm-hmm. Advisory. I don't think we've been doing any advising at all. I agree with the gentleman who said that everything seems to change and you're not listening to us. There is a requirement under our bylaws that we give an annual report. When I was first on the board many years ago, the committee many years ago, there was a draft annual report. I had comments on it. I submitted it to the chair. And they said, we'll get back to it. We never got back to it. So we haven't been doing any advising, in my opinion. And so I think what we ought to do is advise. I think we ought to schedule for our next meeting a discussion of our annual report that is almost 3 years late. And report to the Board of Supervisors, the Planning Commission. Report what we think. Report the comments of the people here in the audience, on both sides. And I am very concerned about the lack of a deal that was promised to us over a year ago by Mr. Rich. I am very concerned about the lack of a deal between City College and the city and the developers on parking. Supervisor Norman Yee said at the Board of Supervisors, yes, we'll approve the fiscal feasibility going forward, but we have to solve the parking problem. We know these students are different. They're different. They need to drive. And a TDM won't solve the problem. It's got to be an alternative resolution for the parking, with a parking study, which I thank them, City College, for doing the parking study. That was very good. It shows a deficiency. Right now, if you lose all the parking, you don't have 3,000 parking spaces. You admitted it yourself. So I say that we have to look at all of this and do a report. It's belated, but do a report, as we are required to do under the bylaws. In addition to that, Lisa Spinelli, before she turned... when she was chair, said the parameters will not be violated. She said that. You probably remember. It's on the record. The parameters will not be violated. We now have two new proposals. One developer, the developer is suggesting a height of 78 feet. The additional housing option is 88 feet. The parameters say that the development will be 25 feet to 65 feet. Many oppose that. But we are even in a situation where our parameters are being violated by this developer. I think we need a report, and we need one soon. If we need a special meeting before the next September meeting, fine. I think this quarterly meeting is missing the point because we need to meet more than ever now to give what I think we have to do, and that is advise. Remember, Balboa Reservoir Community Advisory Committee, we need to advise, and we need that annual report.
I was wondering why the City College TDM does not take into account the
parking garage on the lower reservoir that has been discussed, built by the developer. Why isn't that a part of the plan?
I'm going to try.
Sure.
The simple answer is we haven't completed negotiations. The simple answer is we haven't completed negotiations or the memorandum of understanding or the final project composition.
Talk into the mic, please.
Okay, well, what's the reason for, is it just purely because it's cheaper to build, that the current PAC, or Diego Rivera Theater, as it's now being called, is a quarter of the size of the originally envisioned PAC? What, is it just to preserve the parking, surface parking, in that area that the PAC was going to take up, or is it just to create a cheaper to build building?
Both of those factors were the major considerations for the Diego Rivera Theater, yes.
Thank you. What my understanding is, when this was proposed to us to split the PAEC in half, essentially, and only build one half first, is what was presented to us at the Board of Trustees was that it would be faster to build regarding the swing space. So we could build that half and then come back and build the other half later once we'd built the swing space. There was a lot of questions from the board about that and the administration, and also the public comment, and the administration went back and then proposed this two building that would be cheaper to build and faster to build, and you could build the Diego Rivera Theater right along with it. So that was the idea. And the idea was that the first floor would contain the rehearsal spaces, the music spaces, the particular types of classrooms that you need for music, and then the other floors would be for STEM, so it'd be STEAM altogether. That was, if that answers your question. So there's also a lot of political considerations that this body is not really, you know, cannot really make any determinations about. So, you know, some of those things are things that we're dealing constantly with, pushback from City Hall, pushback from all kinds of other stakeholders, if you will, on this, and trying to come up with the best possible solution. Now, you know, unfortunately, and you know what they say about when committees design something, it's not going to please everybody. Everybody's not going to be happy, but somehow, some way, a performing arts and education center will be built. So I just wanted to say that. And I also wanted to say that this is not really the charge of this body here to decide whether this performing arts and education center gets built. What we're here to decide is the Balboa Reservoir, and to the extent that it impacts City College. Now, we just heard what City College said. City College did their own TDM and looked at this. This is something of great concern right now to everybody here, for whatever your reason is, looking at the parking issue and also looking into the next 25 years to figure out what the parking issue is. So I can tell you from teaching young people that it's changing, that they have a very different attitude than I did. I've said this before this committee and everybody else. They have a very different attitude towards driving. And it's not what I experienced when I turned 16 years old, but I really do appreciate it. And, you know, it's their world now, really. And I always say that millennials are going to save us all. But the point is that that's what we're grappling with right now. We can't look at how we parked in the 1970s to determine how we're going to park in 2030. It's just not going to be the same. So that's a difficult call, though. We're asked to look into the future and figure that out. But what we do know is we can see the changes that have occurred in the past. Now, to the extent that this is going to affect the neighborhoods, I understand that concern, and I don't want to see that happen either. So to the extent that we can mitigate that and create some kinds of opportunities so that students can get to campus. Students don't necessarily want to drive. Okay, I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm telling you that personally, but I also know that there's plenty of studies that bear this out too. So when we're discussing all this, some students do have to drive. Students with parents. I take a 5-year-old to preschool. I know how important it is to have a car. So sometimes you do have to drive, but a lot of students do not have to drive. And the easier we can make it to get to campus, to make it a transit-friendly campus, a lot of this will be alleviated. So I don't see that as a student equity issue. I'll just say from my point of view, whether we have a single story parking forever here. I don't see that as an equity issue. I'd be happy to have someone convince me otherwise, but so far I've heard no evidence that would. So that's about all I'm saying.
Thank you for that. If anybody doesn't know, Bridget is a member of the Board of Trustees, so she knows of what she speaks. I want to thank James for coming by, Mr. San, for coming by, and it's really good to be able to coordinate with you about what's between our two projects. And the City College is a huge project going on. If you looked at that map, there's so many buildings that are getting redone. Even the science building, they talked about tearing it down completely, but they thought, no, it's an important building. We'll refurbish it. It's going to cost twice as much to refurbish it. But what we want to, Bridget mentioned she was worried about mission creep at this meeting. And really what we wanted to do was coordinate with you and find out what your plans are, what your needs are. And it was really great to hear that you're going to be doing that you did a TDM and that you know what your needs are in terms of not just parking, but access. You know, I agree with Bridget that many people really do need to drive. And a lot of people, if they had a choice, they would take a choice, a different choice. So what the TDM does is it provides choices for people. And it gives people a little bit more freedom to choose. And sometimes the bus is slow. If you leave a little bit earlier, you still get on time. You're still on time to class. And with the additional TDM measures, I really encourage that you find a way to do that, because I think it'll save money in the long run in terms of just parking structures, parking maintenance, and just cars in general on campus and congestion in the neighborhood. Each parking spot is usually occupied by many cars each day, and that means that there's more cars on the roads as a result. So if we can cut back on the amount of parking to where it's necessary, and when we talk about parking pricing for parking, I don't think we're talking about gouging people so they don't want to park here anymore. I think what we want to do is have just the right amount of parking, not too much, not too little, and look at a way that we can price it so that there's always a little bit of free parking, or available parking, I should say, not free. So we want to, if in the morning if there's a time of day when there's you could probably lower the price, in order to, as long as you have 2 or 3 spots that are open, or 10 or 15 spots, whatever your goal is, you raise the price until there are that many spots, and it can be dynamic during the day. And the city is working that way. If you look at a parking spot outside of the ballpark, for instance, sometimes it's $2 an hour, other times it's $20 an hour, depending on if there's a game or not. And so I think we can look at it that way as well.
There's no $2 an hour.
Yeah. I wouldn't
ballpark?
Know. I wouldn't know. In the morning on Sunday, perhaps. As far as this committee's jurisdiction over what happens at City College, we don't really have any. But we're really happy to know what you need in terms of access and how we can work with you to make sure that that happens. That we can, we are building a parking garage for our residents. It's going to be a ratio of 0.5 to one parking spot for every 2 units overall. And we also will be able to provide some parking for City College. And now we probably have a starting point where we can figure out exactly how many spots we need to provide to do that. The other thing is we will also be doing our own TDM, the developers will be doing their own TDM. I would actually prefer that we did a neighborhood-wide TDM that covered everybody, but we're going to do it piecemeal, and we'll try and make the best of it. Maybe in the future we could find a way to integrate all the research together into one piece. But I guess that's it. But thank you for your presentation. Okay, moving on. Are we done? Yes, we're done with that. General public comment. Has everybody filled out a form who would like to be speaking? This is for anything that's not on the agenda. Okay, so we will start off with Irene Kaufman, followed by Jennifer Heggie. She always gets the number two spot. And then Jerry Valley, or is it Baby? I can't read your writing. Thank you.
So my name is Irene Kaufman, and a point that I was asked to bring up, when we've been talking about traffic, we've been talking about students and about people who are commuting to school. What is not, as far as I know, been discussed is the traffic that will be generated by construction. If you have construction going on for City College and construction going on for Balboa Park Reservoir, that new community residential area, there will be a tremendous number of large trucks, and we would really prefer that they not come from the Monterey Boulevard side because of the numbers of schools and daycare centers that are on that side. It's bad enough. The impact it'll have here on the high schools, Reardon High and Lick-Wilmerdine and City College, but to have it going through, this coming from Monterey Boulevard, the streets are narrow, they tend to have parked cars on both sides, and can you imagine a bus trying to get down the street when you've got a cement truck or two or three trying to go in the opposite direction? So we would ask that be a consideration when they're looking at traffic flow for the actual construction, whatever it ends up being, understanding that part of the plan is going to be to park the trucks on site while they're working, but they're still going to have trucks coming back and forth. And some of those trucks are like a half a block long just by themselves. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Jennifer Heggie.
Thank you, Jennifer. So principle, I want to go back to the principles and parameters. Principle number three was to help to alleviate the city's undersupply of housing. And parameter B says, create housing without compromising the quality of design or construction or outpacing needed transportation infrastructure. So studies, comments, and recommendations have been made for several years to improve the transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and driving experience along Ocean Avenue and along that corridor between Balboa BART station and Frida Kahlo Way. This need and these requests began long before any discussion of building a Balboa Reservoir development. There have been small improvements, but they've been inadequate. During the City College semester, particularly between 9 and 2, or you can say 10 and 1, Frida Kahlo Way is a crush of cars. The Balboa Reservoir will add thousands of residents who may need to do more than walk across Frida Kahlo Way. And so the addition of so many new residents will cause severe stress to City College and neighborhood interests. So I and members of the SNA Balboa Reservoir Committee would like to see plans backed by financing to implement real improvements for the corridor prior to any approval of any development or the new development. Since I still have time, I'd like to talk about height representation. There have been multiple times we've requested a visual representation of the stepped height changes of buildings from north to south. The developers haven't yet produced this piece of information, and it would be helpful to see the inclusion of City College building height plans and proposals and drawings when they're available as well. I wanted to bring up, we'd also like to ensure this development does not become a mosquito breeding ground. I know it sounds funny, but there will be a storm management, water management system doubling as green space in the middle of the development, and we want to make sure that there's, you know, that people have dealt with that. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Jerry, followed by Stuart Rosenthal. We have two Stuart Rosenthals, two S. Rosenthals in the same handwriting. I think it's just one of you, right? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Brian Maribello. I'm speaking on behalf of my Sunnyside neighbor, Jerry Jahey. First, in regards to the Ocean Avenue and Frida Kahlo Way safety and traffic, I'm very concerned about unsafe conditions between the freeway off-ramp, the Balboa Park BART station, and the Balboa Reservoir. The street conditions should be dealt with before construction. We will also want to address this at the September CAP meeting, where the whole focus will be transportation, and SFMTA will be present. Make the reconstruction of the 280 off-ramp onto Ocean Avenue and the safety improvements on Ocean Avenue precede any construction on the reservoir. Study existing traffic gridlock on Frida Kahlo and Ocean Avenue and find ways to mitigate before adding hundreds, thousands of new residents. On permit parking, explore permit parking for the area of Sunnyside nearest the project site. If permit parking is introduced to help current neighborhoods, I'm sure all existing neighborhoods would like permits that are unique to their situation and different from the proposed new housing's permits or parking privileges. Lastly, City College parking. We should push the developers in the city to construct a parking garage for City College as a precondition for any other development and consider constructing a garage on the east side of campus. This is critical, and it's shameful that it's not already in place.
So I have three cards for S. Rosenthal and Stuart Rosenthal, but I don't see him here anymore, so we'll move on to Chris Hansen will be next, followed by Laura. I can't read the whole thing. Somebody, first name, illegible Laura, followed by Francine Lofrano. Oh, Laura. Okay.
To piggyback on Mr. Aaron's comments, it is also probably well within this committee's description to create resolutions. Resolutions approved by this committee are valid as submissions under the EIR process and must carry weight. Last night at the Tonys, Lucy Liu said, "Theater changes lives. Arts education should be a right, not a privilege. A strong theatrical landscape is vital to the growth of our society." I'm going to send you some stuff on the San Francisco general plan. It really does describe the importance of building of something like the PAC in an environment such as City College already offers. Here are a few examples, and because they are in the general plan and the PAC and its stakeholders are close neighbors to this development, the comments of this committee are relevant, especially as we head towards an EIR process for the development next door. Promote inclusion of artistic considerations in local decision making. Provide access to the creative process and cultural resources for all neighborhoods, cultural communities, and segments of the city and its populations. Provide access to the creative process and cultural resources for all neighborhoods, cultural communities, and segments of the city and its population. I counted 15 policies that I could put a direct connection to for City College, and that's the SF General Plan. That's an important planning document. There was also multiple objectives under that plan that apply. In New York, my husband and I went to the LaGuardia Community College, and they were very similar, that school, to City College. The buildings were older, they were a little worn, and the students and faculty reminded us of folks at home. And here's a quote from their Performing Arts webpage. "We present high quality programming intended to give a booming voice to the most diverse community in the world. Please help."
Thank you. Laura, followed by Francine Lofrano, and then Madeline Miller.
Laura Fry, Westwood Park. I just wanted to encourage you all to follow through on Michael's idea about the annual report, because I think the annual report is supposed to keep the Board of Supervisors sort of in the loop of what's happening and before the plan just gets plopped on their desk. And the parameters haven't been respected, and I hope that would be a part of the report, that this whole committee was set forward to make some parameters, and then there a lot of them have just been sort of really chopped up. So, thank you.
Okay, Francine.
Hi, Francine Lafrana. I too am kind of appalled that the annual report has never happened after all these years.
It has happened. There's been an annual report.
But
what? Wasn't there?
There has been.
There is no annual report. We did a draft annual report. We gave it to the committee chair. She said she'd look at it. Nothing has happened.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Okay, well, that's pretty shocking.
There will be an annual report.
And there is a requirement in the bylaws that we do it once a year.
Okay.
Okay, that's shocking.
We will comply with that.
But anyway, so question on your slides. You had some various projected dates that were of all these buildings that were going to be renovated and so forth, and I believe it was 2025. Is that correct?
We can answer at the end.
Yes.
Okay. I thought that was an interesting timeline because, you know, the parcel tax that was levied on our property taxes per the 2001 bond measure was from 2001. So it's 2019, so 18 years you can't manage to build a PAC, but you're going to manage in 6 years to do all those building renovations, even with whether you have bond money or not? I mean, I don't understand. It sounds highly ambitious to me when you can't even get the PAC done in 18 years. So I'm not really asking you to explain yourself, but that doesn't add up in my mind. Yeah. And I don't know where this property tax thing's up in the end. You know, so it keeps going on and on. If you think you're going to get another bond measure, you know, people like me are going to remember that we paid for 18 years and got nothing. So I don't think we'd be too inclined to pass another one. Thank you.
Madeline?
Maybe these comments belonged more with the environmental impact to people part of the program, but I'm very concerned. I've kept track since we had issues 30 years ago about houses in the reservoir. At the time, I was approached by both the fire chief and PUC, actually, to speak out for water situations, and so I think I should do that again, and also the density problems, which is part of that. We are right now in San Francisco, right now, more dense than Hong Kong and Tokyo. We're the second only to New York in density in America, and there's a big gap between whoever's third. So we're a very dense city, and we've had a history about fire, especially earthquakes. And it's concerned. I went to the PUC meeting the other day to see, the question was, do we have enough water for this project? The answer was kind of, we don't know, but it was passed forward anyway. And there was a question asked, is there ever a time that San Francisco projects, because there's many of them now in the city, that have a lot of units, and they all demand drinkable water. Is there ever a time where we run out? Well, no, because we keep emptying the rivers, the Tuolumne Bay, endangering fishes, and a lot of environmental areas up there in Yosemite. If we run out of that water, well, then we start going after the farming water. That seems not a very good idea. And then this is drinking water, and it doesn't help if there's a fire. And I've taught here many decades, and you all know, we call it pneumonia gulch. The wind comes whipping through, it circles dangerously. And at least 30 years ago, and we've had some conversations with fire department now, they have not really been included too much in the problems of this particular bowl and what would happen if there was a fire and the wind, which is common enough in this bowl. We really have to be very careful in this neighborhood with both of those issues, or three of those issues.
Thank you. Harry, did you want to speak?
Harry Bernstein. So I heard the neighbors saying, you know, what's going to come down the pike? You know, that there are issues about parking, not providing for it, expecting things to happen. You know, there's questions about traffic density and failure to come up with mitigations, but asking for TDMs to cut back on what's already happening. I just have to ask, what is it possible for the CAC to do? Would you at some point, since I think one of you said that the job is to consider the relationship with the reservoir project, would you advise that the plan not go forward? I don't know what the bottom line is, and certainly Mr. Ahrens is saying what you want to do is find a way of representing what's been going on. I applaud that. I just wonder, is it in the purview of the committee to say, based on all these unreconcilable elements, we don't advise going forward until these elements like the parking be resolved and the traffic be resolved? Maybe it wouldn't be issued until after the September meeting. We'll have a lot more information about transportation. But what can you do? What? How far would you go?
Hi, Anita O'Harris. Not to belabor the point on the required annual report, I served on the San Francisco Planning Commission for 5 years, and you're going to have an informational presentation on Thursday, and I would tell you that if I were still sitting there, I would be asking where that report is, because that would be a very important part of the presentation. So I hope maybe planning might help us get this report so the Planning Commission could have a full picture of where we are. Thank you.
Any more public comment? Seeing none. Any last words? Seeing none, I will close the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, I hate to look.
Thank you very much, as always.
So, we do need to do
thank
a
you.
Report.
Let's
yeah,
just do at the end of the process. You never do.
Huh? Okay, I didn't know that.
Sure, I can take them. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, thank you. I can take them.
No more than a year after.
One of the things that came up is that I think people are facing the fact that our parking permit program would be advantageous, not just burdensome. And so I think the SMA of our reservoir committee would like to sort of explore what that would mean. And then when we get enough specs of what it would mean for our area, then I can do a survey amongst our members so that we have some feel for how much support there would be for that. So
I'm happy to put you, do you have an MTA contact?
We have a liaison who tends to be a facilitator, so maybe contacting him and asking what it would be. So wouldn't it be specific to the fact that it's near the reservoir?
Yes, I'm sorry, I just want to turn the recorder off.